everyone. Welcome back to Relax with Animal Facts. I am Steph Wolf, and today I am going to be learning with you about our furry, scaly, or possibly even slimy friends. And in today's case, it is going to be a slimy friend of ours, because we are covering the oh-so-wonderful By the Wind Sailor. That's an interesting name, isn't it? This, of course, is a very special listener episode dedicated to Eddie, who wrote in via the website. Thank you for this awesome and unique suggestion, and I hope you enjoy your very own episode. If you like Relax with Animal Facts, I have started making videos on the YouTube Relax with Animal Facts. You guys seemed to have really enjoyed the orangutan phalange explanation episode, but I am working on a new one. It has to do with the platypus. I'm not going to reveal it yet, but I think it's a spicy video. Also, if you would like to help support the show, every bit of money at the moment is going to actually keeping the show running. And so, if you would like to help support that cause, you can go to patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts, and you can get tens and I think close to 100 at this point of exclusive episodes to listen to. I believe we're somewhere between 50 and 100. I haven't counted. So don't quote me on that, but there's a lot of content on there. A huge shout out to George Vlad for the ambiances in today's episode. His work is linked in the description, and I encourage you to check him out. And now let us begin to wind down a little bit. If this is your first ever episode, I welcome you to the Animal Podcast family, a family that grows every day and covers every corner of the world. And if you are returning, you know exactly what I am going to be asking of you. I have three primary exhortations for you. The first is that you put on some shoes that you don't mind getting a little wet. You are going to be needing those for where we are going today. My second, and arguably the most important, exhortation is that you realize perhaps where you are carrying some tension. Is it in the head, the neck, the legs, the shoulders? Regardless of where it is that you carry tension, my encouragement to you is the same. Do your best to relax whatever it is that you are tensing, bringing up in your mind some Jell-O to do your best Oscar award-winning impression of it. You can choose green Jell-O, red Jell-O, and just like that Jell-O just sort of gels around, it has no tension. That is what we're going for. If you don't know how to become Jell-O, maybe you don't even know where you carry your tension. A little exercise can help. Start at the bottom of your feet in your mind, and slowly, in your mind, make your way up towards the top of the head, relaxing as you go. So, you would first relax the bottom of the feet, and then the ankles, then the calves, then the thighs, and up and up. This helps you realize where it is that you carry tension frequently, and allows you to become Jell-O much more easily. My final exhortation to you is that you give your mind permission to wander and journey with me as we go onto the open ocean where the By the Wind Sailor resides. Thank you. It is not often that we don't even delve too far deep into the ocean to find our animals. We are looking at the surface of the sea, and what we are looking for is nothing short of both bizarre and amazing. I think that personally, this is one of the most unique animals we have covered on the show thus far, and soon we will learn together about why that is. We are here because the by-the-wind sailor is found in almost every ocean on the planet. An individual sailor jelly is made up of a colony of organisms that share a digestive system. The scientific name of this wonderful animal is Velella velella. This word is a Latin word, velum, or in the classical pronunciation, velum. This means sail, so this name refers to the sail-like structure of the organism that helps it to move with the wind across the surface of the ocean. So its scientific name literally means sail, sail, and sail it does. I will often refer to these animals simply as sailors, so don't think I'm talking about human beings there. I'm not sure if it is even possible for me to explain them adequately to you so that you get an accurate picture in your mind, but I shall certainly try. Sailors have flat, ovular bodies that can expand up to 6 or 7 centimeters across when they are exposed to the wind. The body segment has different air chambers that contribute to the colony's buoyancy. The vane, spelt V-A-N-E, works as a miniature sail and extends straight up from the body disc. It is this rigid, transparent, and triangular vane that has given this animal the name by-the-wind sailor. The vane, or the sail, of the animal helps to gather wind and travel over the water's surface, which is useful given that sailor jellies can't swim at all, at least in the active sense. The sail, or the vane, is on a diagonal, so sailor jellies travel at a 45-degree angle to the prevailing wind, much like a real sailboat. These animals are hydrozoans, the same class as jellyfish, distinguished by their gelatinous arms and stinging cell-adorned arms. Hydrozoans are mostly marine animals, hence the hydro part of their name. Some hydrozoans can live in fresh water, but for the by-the-wind sailor, they occupy the world's oceans. But there are many things that are common to hydrozoans. Certain complex life cycles, colonial and solitary forms, the possession of nematocysts, which contain stinging structures used for capturing prey and for defense. By-the-wind sailors are closely linked to the Portuguese man-o-war, and that should give you an idea, of course assuming you know what the Portuguese man-o-war is, of what this creature is like. I believe we've covered the man-o-war, if I'm not incorrect. If not, that's a great animal to cover. One feature about this animal that makes them very distinguishable is their bright blue color. It can be used both as a camouflage and to shield the colony from solar damage. Sometimes these animals wash up on beaches, and so they are not very well camouflaged with blue against that sandy color. But out on the open ocean, they can be really difficult to spot. They have these little trailing limbs that are as cool as their body discs and veins. And in addition to looking cool, they are also coated in those nematocysts, which are those, again, stinging cells that assist in the shocking of their planktonic food. Allow me to correct myself. Planktonic food. Planktonic food might be some sort of philosophical term. It's a good thing I caught that. On the bottom of the jellies' discs, there is an entrance for their digestive system. It allows food in and waste out. They're largely formed of water, and they weigh very little. And their size can additionally fluctuate quite a bit, not to mention with a great speed as well, depending on how much food is available. So, as we can already see, this creature is weird, and in a good way. I can say in the positive now that I know there is Jell-O out there that sails. What a world. So as they sail, as we learned, they eat on minuscule plankton. These plankton just float at or near the ocean's surface, making it an easy grab for these animals. There is not much that they are active in, that is the sailor jellies. That includes feeding too. Some of these animals have a golden brown pigmentation. The golden brown pigmentation on the animal's body is caused by zooxanthellae, the same phytoplankton that lives with coral polyps. The zooxanthellae live alongside their host and give an additional source of sustenance by converting sunlight into sugars that the sailor jellies can consume. This is again a symbiotic relationship, a mutualistic one in specific. The main predators of the by-the-wind sailors are sunfish, purple snails, and blue dragon nudibranches. They are, of course, vulnerable to predation because they can't do much except sting. If an animal can take the sting, there is no reason for them not to eat some Jell-O. I have seen some stuff on Reddit. There is a particular thread in which people ask, "What animal is this?" They'll post a picture or a description, and people will weigh in. I actually responded to one that was about the by-the-wind sailor. This individual was walking on the beach and saw this bright blue jelly just sitting there. Now, the first conclusion is that this is an alien that fell from space, but the second is that this is a real animal on Earth that is called the by-the-wind sailor. The main point of all of this is to say that this animal is unique and very special. Special enough to make someone pause and say, "What am I even looking at?" For those of you that live in the United States, particularly throughout Oregon and the remainder of the United States' northwestern coast, you will have likely seen these animals before, so maybe you know what they are. If they do wash up, they typically wash up during the spring or early summer months. It is best not to touch them because they can still sting. But keep in mind, these animals are not actually jellyfish. Although they are related to jellyfish, sea anemones, corals, and hybrids. And so admire the Jell-O from afar. If you're feeling particularly brazen, you can even do your best Oscar award-winning impression of it. but that is as much as I would advise. Because this animal behaves mostly passively in their world, the direction of the sail along the float dictates how the by-the-wind sailor will proceed. If the sail travels northwest to southeast along the float, it will drift left, and southwest to northeast, it will drift right. These animals truly go with the flow. These animals reproduce through a process known as budding. The by-the-wind sailor doesn't have to come together with another one to produce, or rather to reproduce. They simply clone themselves, and when they are ready, the clones physically bud out and float away until they connect with other suitable polyps to form a colony. At birth, the buds that are known as medusae are less than 2 millimeters long, or half the size of a grain of rice. But parents can generate hundreds or thousands of medusae in their lifespan, but only a few of them survive until maturity. We're not actually sure how long this animal lives on average. You can imagine how difficult it is to track the lifespan of these animals, but what a life of a researcher that would put the time in to sail beside the by-the-wind sailor, just to find out how long they live. So, although they are born extremely small, the oval floats can reach about 10 centimeters in length, but they are often smaller. So, although they are born small, they don't have some redemption arc where they grow super big, they still grow up to be a modest size. It is worth mentioning that we don't actually know much about them. The facts that I have to work with are relatively few, so perhaps there are many more secrets to uncover, but we have covered the majority of them already. The last thing is their name, which was sort of spoiled already. Their distinctive sail earns it the moniker By the Wind Sailor. I'm not sure why they just didn't call this the Sailor Jello or the Jello Sailor. What are these researchers even doing? And now, let us move on to the dad joke. Because this animal is pretty niche, there were no jokes online, and the ones made by ChatGPT were so bad that I couldn't even read them. Strictly speaking, they weren't even jokes, just weird statements of fact that were sort of not true. So AI might be very powerful, but in terms of jokes, it sucks. And so, I made one up on the spot. Check this out. What's the by-the-wind sailor's favorite movie? Gone with the Wind. Boom. Does anyone even know that movie anymore? It was made like in the 1930s, so maybe that isn't the best reference. It's also about 4 hours long, so that really speaks maybe to I love it when I have to explain my jokes because I'm insecure about them. Explaining jokes just makes them so much better. And now, let us move on to the Spotify section. This is where I read Q&As, or in this case, I'm reading the results of a poll. On the Gila Monster episode, I asked you guys, would you watch video episodes of the show? 43% of you said yes, 27% said no, 15% were unsure, and apparently 14% of you just like clicking buttons. That is very important information. But I was just curious if you guys would even be open to something like that, I'm not promising anything. But let's go to the Instagram where I asked on the Q&A, if you could have one animal ability, which one would you choose? Amy Sue, 22, said, I would choose to fly like an eagle. Oh, what a beautiful view that would be. And no airfare. Hooray. That is a good point. I actually would care less about the view than the perk of not having to fly Air Canada. For those of you that don't live here and don't have to take that airline, be thankful. With the amount of delays per day, the by-the-wind sailor can traverse the Atlantic Ocean. But before I go on a rant, let me move on to Scarlet Rink, who said, I would choose the ability of Stefan Wolf. That would make you just about the worst superhero ever. I suppose, what is my ability? I imagine being interviewed for the X-Men or for maybe the Avengers, and they ask me, what can you do? I then take my shirt and firmly tuck it into my jeans, to which they gasp and say, wow. Who needs a Wolverine or, I don't know, a Deadpool or someone that straight up shoots lasers out of their eyes when you have a guy that can turn anything into a dad costume? But Scarlet, I don't know if you actually want that superpower, because with great power comes great responsibility, and for me that really lays a huge burden on my shoulders. And I have to tell you, personally, it's a big burden to bear. Looking like a dad is no easy task. Tegan Capri 09 said, camouflage. That's a good one. If you worked at the office or something and you know your boss was coming in to give you some extra work so you can't leave early, you can just go to the office plant and boom. You're gone, and he can't give you the work. Of course, I don't know how long you would keep that job, but after all, if you can camouflage, who needs a job? The last bit of communication with you guys is on Apple Podcasts. Go Go Gadget Lips wrote in from the United States of America and said, this podcast has it going on if you're into nature and need to unwind. Thank you so much, GoGo Gadget Lips. That is so nice of you to say. I'm so happy that you enjoy the show as you do, but I appreciate the glaring review in a very compact way. If you would like to leave a review like this user did, I encourage you to do so because it really helps the show grow. Also, if you're on Instagram or Spotify, responding to the Q&As is a great way of communicating with me and of being featured on the show. If you would like to request an animal for a future episode, you can do so by going to relaxwithanimalfacts.com and clicking on the Animal Request tab. To reach out to me, Steph Wolf, for any other reason, you can send an email to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com, or you can send me a message on the Instagram relaxwithanimalfacts. If you would like more Relax with Animal Facts and to help support the show's mission, you can go to patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts. You can get 3 episodes a week instead of 2. Also, make sure if you're listening on Spotify to click the follow button. It makes sure to remind you when a new episode is released, and it helps the show grow. A huge shout out to George Vlad for the ambiance used in today's episode. His work is linked in the description, and you should check him out. The facts used in this episode came from nps.gov, marinesanctuary.org, wildlifetrusts.org, and etymonline.com. What a wonderful animal we have learned about today. One that is truly unique. I mean, the animal does something naturally that we have to spend many thousands of dollars to do on our own. Building a sailboat, rigging it all together, the by-the-wind sailor just has that mechanism, and it is chilling. I am so grateful that you have taken the time to join me on this episode, and I look forward to our next adventure together with the next animal. Take care.